Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Apologize to Jeremy Jones, who's our organist today. He's just starting another selection for the prelude, and I had to call him off because we picked up on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And it is appropriate this Sunday and next Sunday to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The world is rushing on to New Year's Eve, and they're going to party down like it was 2020. And the Church of Jesus Christ is still celebrating the birth. Let's get over it. 12 days of Christmas to January 6th with the day of Epiphany. Now, Scott was saying before service, it is true that the Eastern Orthodox churches, the Orthodox family, split from the Western Church, which became the Roman Church, around 1000 AD. So this has been going on for 1000 years. They have celebrated Christmas as January 6th. The Western Church, the Roman Church from which the Lutheran Church broke away, celebrated it as December 25th. But we meet at January 6th, we do Epiphany, the revealing of the Christ to the Gentiles, the three kings that came from the East, the non-Hebrew, non-Jewish people, and not just the birth of Jesus. So we welcome you to Christ's family, to the house of God this Christmas day. Welcome Jeremy back into the eagle's nest of the organ. This is his first of three last Sundays with him. So January 5th is next. January 12th is the next one. So January 12th will be his last Sunday, and we have a special coffee hour. So please come, and most likely it's going to become a luncheon. We'll keep you posted. Okay, so a special time. We can't let somebody who has served God and served these people of our Savior and the radio audience for 8 years to let them walk out the back door and not say, thank you, Jeremy. And so we do. Okay, so Christmas Eve at Our Savior, we broadcast at 7 o'clock. Those who are on radio, perhaps, I hope you turned us on. I told you last Sunday we were doing Christmas Eve. And here in the house, we had 77 at the early and I think 54 at the late. So we had over 130, basically twice our Sunday attendance, which is good. And plus the radio audience, which is wonderful that we can get out there and put a podcast, have it simulcast, and have it broadcast. So we thank you. What else do I need to say? Prayer list before we start this service. Just got one new one, and it's not a happy one, but it's one of those things that happen. Judy Quater came up to me just before we went on the air. A friend of hers, Becky Neely, had passed away age 59 as of yesterday?
Friday,
she passed away. I did the funeral for the mother, 3 weeks ago? Something like that. So the mother died preceding her, and now she died. Isn't it bad enough to have one death before Christmas, let alone have two deaths at Christmas time for a family system? The other thing was Christmas Eve, Kristen Murphy of our congregation, her aunt on the Canadian side, had passed away unexpectedly the day before Christmas, so December 24th. Death knows no date nor time and comes so unexpected to God's people. So we remember them who grieve heavily, and those of your friends and yourself at this time if you have had a significant death memory at this time. Let's see, I think that does those bad news. Radio broadcast this day is sponsored by Wally and Cheryl Deasing, and we greatly appreciate that sponsorship. The beautiful flowers on the altar by Deb and Pete Colley, in acknowledgement of their daughter Jessica, who I married at this time of the year 7 years ago, 7th anniversary. And Wally and Cheryl also sponsoring the snow removal. And may we not have to use it this week when the snow flurries start flying. This service, for those who know the worship pattern I try to do here at Our Savior, the Sunday after Christmas, is a service of other Christmas music you're not going to find on your radio. There's a whole body of Christian music that began before radios existed. It's called sacred music. That is to speak and address the real theme of Christmas, which is God. Secondly, Christ who came among us, and thirdly, we who needed it. Those three components. And you find the variations in the different texts and the moods and the type of music that they employed to tell us that story. So you're going to get that in the music today. As I indicated in the e-letter, Scott Pike is my alter ego. As you know, he is an intern for the Southeast Michigan Synod as a lay minister. We split him like King Solomon did in half, that child. He'll be with us for half of his internship. The other half, he'll be with the Lutheran Church in Emily City. So we get to see him for, what, one more month?
A couple more weeks.
Boy, he's got it down. Anything to get out of town. And then he'll be gone for 3 months, and then I get him back, and I'm going to fine-tune him for the Senate. No. It is the fruit of seeing the Word of God bearing in a person's life. Well, thank you, Scott, for his education he has pursued the last 2 years at his expense, his time with working with the Synod. That takes a high commitment. And most people don't even come to a Bible study, let alone leave time to get study, okay? So we're glad he's among us. Our entrance hymn this day is Once in Royal David City. Please rise.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Amen. Please be seated. We have the first of five readings.
Good morning.
Sure. Good morning.
The first reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 through 20 and verse 26. Having dedicated her son Samuel to God's service, Hannah visits him every year when she and her husband, Elkanah, come to the Lord's house to offer sacrifices. God grants Hannah more children, and Samuel himself gains favor in the sight of all. The reading begins. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Jim. Next hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, tracing the Old Testament theme, which Samuel was from, who will anoint the king, David, who will be the forebearer, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of Jesus. Okay, we sing the hymn. You may remain seated. The day is truly our second reading for the five. So if you'll follow me responsively like we do with the Psalms. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights. Praise the Lord, all you angels. Sing praise, all you hosts of heaven. Praise the Lord, the sun and moon. Sing praise to all the shining stars. Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Then let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded, and they were created. who made them stand fast forever and ever, giving them a law that shall not pass away. The splendor of the Lord is over the earth and heaven. So praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters, all the deeps, fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind, doing God's will. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world, young men and maidens, old and young together, the splendor of the Lord is over the earth and heaven. So let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name is to be exalted, whose splendor is over the earth and heaven. The Lord has raised up strength for the people, and praise for all faithful servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah. Second Carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory, takes us to the New Testament account of the Nativity of our Lord. First to be contacted were the shepherds, if you recall the story on Christmas Eve. We sing the hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory. The third reading puts in context. I'm just going to tell the story behind it. Okay. The story is, it's more than the birth of a Messiah. It's the beginning of a new age called the Messianic Age. Everything's going to change, not just one being born, a la Jesus 600 years later. Listen to the reading Jane provides.
Lesson 3 is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful, are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. For those who were with us for Advent 4 last Sunday, you know we sang selected verses, as we'll do today, of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. As I indicated to you, historically, this is believed to be the oldest Christmas hymn. It's well over 1,000 years old. It has been sung by millions and millions of believers with the haunting cry of Isaiah, but the ever cry for God's messianic age and the coming of Emmanuel, God with us in this crazy world. We sing.
Thank you.
One more. You left us. The fourth reading from the Gospel of Luke. My sheet is down. Oh, Judy. Okay. I know Donna had connected people. Sheet's down there.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judy. And we sing the hymn that speaks about that cradle where he will be placed, away in the manger. Four verses.
Thank you.
That was to be a test of your memory, or where you would find it in the Green Book, page 67.
The service continues with the meditation.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who's confused by that. Good morning.
Good morning.
So today is the music service for Advent. When I was first assigned this, the task of preparing a homily for the Advent music service, I have to say I was a bit hesitant. My guess is right now you're asking yourself, what's a homily? Because I've had to answer that a few times this last week. A brief definition of that is it's a short sermon. I know for many of you, you're really happy about that. And others are, you know, I'm cutting your nap short, so I understand that too. So for this homily, we should go right around 10 minutes, depending on how fast I talk. So why was I hesitant about doing a music service? If anybody knows me, music is not my forte. God has given me a great many gifts, and I've been very fortunate. Unfortunately, music isn't one of those. So initially, when I started putting this homily together, my confidence was lacking. My wife is very musical. The people around me are very musical. Just, I am not. So what I found, though, is I'm getting used to being led by the Lord into these increasingly uncomfortable places and these unwanted tasks. But after 58 years, I'm starting to learn that and come to terms with that God gives me what I need rather than what I want. And the more receptive and obedient I am to God's direction, the more I am blessed. And this faith journey, especially in the last couple of years of this licensed lay ministry training, it's been truly wonderful and enlightening, but it's also been a terrifying experience because I tell people that this was a two-year argument with God that I either lost or won, I'm not sure which, that has drawn me into this ministry role. But what I found that it is a sincere issue of faith by being able to let go and let God take me into these mysterious and unknown places, it's been nothing but rewarding. So being a non-musical person myself, I really did feel very well equipped to speak on music. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, I can do this, right? So my first thought was, let's do this from a historical perspective. But the more I thought about that, I'm like, that's kind of a cop-out. No pun intended. It's easy to go and do a quick internet search or a little research and look at the historical perspective on how these carols and songs were created, and most of them have a really beautiful story behind them. But the reality is that type of sermon has been done over and over again, and I didn't want to just regurgitate that type of information. They're great sermons, just I wanted to go in a different direction. So I spent some time reflecting on music and particularly the context of Christian music as a celebration and worship. I found that I was more interested in the impact music would have on me individually and me as a Christian and my soul. So while I'm not necessarily a musical person or a talent, I can't deny the power of music. As someone who's dealt with attention deficit disorder his whole life, I found the task of memorization a near impossibility. But even that being said, if I look back at music and look at the carols and the songs from my youth that I grew up with, I can remember those words. Case in point, Away in the Manger. I didn't know them all, but I knew most of them, okay? So as I continue to reflect on the influence of music, especially on one's soul, I began to realize what it really does mean to me. Now, I certainly can't sing a lick. For the most of the time, I'm just lip syncing. And from what I've heard in the singing this morning, apparently I'm not the only one. But even worse, I can't keep tempo. If you've ever had a song or music that involves clapping, I can't do it. If you watch me do it, it's probably quite comical because while everybody's clapping, I'm doing something else. It's just, you know, I come to terms that it's not me. But musical clearly has a great cause and effect on people. It certainly evokes emotions, feelings, even physical action.
It can motivate, compel, excite, enrage, teach. It can express political and religious or other beliefs, and so on. There's a reason that all branches of the military have bands. And we even know from looking at Bible stories that music has led many of our Christian warriors into battle. If you have any doubt about the cause and effect that music has on people, I dare anybody to listen to the song We Are Champions by Queen and not stomp your feet and clap your hands. And if you don't know who Queen is, ask your kids or ask your parents, because it's right in that mid-ground there. But that's one of those songs that I can actually clap to. I don't know why, but music has almost a miraculous ability to instantly take you to another place, another time, and to manipulate your emotions. When I hear holiday music especially, the hymns in my mind instantly take me to another place. I can clearly remember those moments and times with family and friends and those celebrations. I can feel the emotions of the moment. I can even smell the smells from my grandmother's house at Christmas morning and, you know, the coffee my dad had to have before he let us open presents. I imagine that most couples have that special song. We all have our song, right? We can remember this music that played on our first date, our first kiss, our engagement, and so on. And we have that music that has clearly the negative effect on us. We can remember the music that reminds us of loved ones lost, breakup songs, that country song where mama's in jail, my dog ran away. Music can touch the part of the human brain or the psyche and embed itself indelibly upon us. Music is certainly incredibly powerful. Many memory experts will tell you that music used during study, particularly a classical music or a Baroque style music, helps one to better recall information. Even better, if music is used as a mnemonic device, big word, but that means putting the information into a musical tone or a lyric, increases the ability of one to remember that information. Just think of all the commercial jingles you've heard. You know, anybody know how to sing How to Build a Big Mac? Yeah, so we can all do that. So that works. When I look at music from a biblical perspective, it becomes undeniable to me that the Lord has clearly created music as a blessing to mankind. When I really take the time to reflect on it, I can see the miracles as well as positive proof of our Creator in music. When I think of what music consists of, it's a series of tones, sounds, octaves, strung together in an organized manner to create a melody that's pleasurable to the human brain. To create such a complicated task can only be the result of an intelligent Creator. I personally am amazed, as well as confused, by the mind that can comprehend music. When I listen to the different parts of music, the various instruments, as well as the lyrics, the ability to bring it all together with proper timing, especially if you watch a symphony and you see all the parts that are involved in it, it seems impossible to me, anybody, to fashion that together in their mind and bring it to life. And if I'm to be a little honest, I'm a bit envious of that mind. A quick internet search shows the Bible refers to music in excess of 1,100 times. And of course, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? I tend to believe that's probably a conservative number. I imagine music is probably mentioned a lot more than that. It's just whoever did the research had their criteria for it. But if we look at just one book, Psalms. Psalms alone is believed to be a collection of musical lyrics as well as a collection of poems. We know that music has been lost to time, and there are scholars that have tried to recreate the music of Psalms and with limited or little success. But if you read Psalms, you can clearly see and feel the melody, the tones, and the poem type of feel to the verses. In my opinion, music is one of the highest forms of worship. I've experienced this miracle personally. When my wife, who who is a very talented singer, has sung to me in the past. Particularly, I can remember during our wedding. There's an intimacy to being sung to. It is so powerful. It's so clear when we sing, especially from the heart. We're showing our great love and reverence for our God in song. When I hear these songs, in my mind's eye, I can picture God, whose face I can't see, but I can picture him smiling as he's lifted up in song and music, even though I'm just lip syncing. But I'm convinced at some point when I enter heaven, I will get the opportunity to join his choir and I will have that musical talent that I long for. But when I look at the power of music, it's just undeniable. So I would like to leave you with a little bit of a biblical perspective on music. And it comes from Psalms 98, verses 1 through 7. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arms have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth bust into jubilant song and music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sounds of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord King. Let the sea resound and everything in it in the world and all who live in it. Amen. Now, if you take a minute, we'll go to our prayers of intercession.
Now he becomes the assisting minister.
Well, I've been greeter, deacon, assisting minister, so it's been a big day. Dwelling in the presence of God with us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of wisdom, open our ears to hear your grace through the words and deeds of our children. Inspire the youngest and the oldest in our midst to learn from one another with humility and patience. Hear us, O God. God of creation, to you, praise to you for the hills and the mountains, fruit trees and forests, animals wild and tame, sea monsters, birds and reptiles. Spark delight in our hearts for all that you have made. Hear us, O God. God of hope, call us to peace and bind us together in perfect unity. Make wars to cease. Guide the leaders of the nations in our way of wisdom, compassion, and tolerance. Hear us, O God. God of healing, mend the broken hearts of those who suffer this day. Treasure everyone who struggles with addiction, loneliness, hunger, unemployment, mental illness, or sickness. Lord, today be with Jared Lucas, Bev Chidster, Patricia May, Donna Taylor, Annie Garner, Sharon Ruff. Be with the family of Marjorie Martin with the passing of her baby, Ina Ritz-Tony. Draven Erickson's grandfather, Sal, with his sudden and unexpected death. And the father-in-law of Joanne Erickson. Be with Kristen Murphy and the family with the death of her aunt. And the family of Becky Neely. Lord, be with those serving our nation, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, and Faye Wright. And those serving in foreign lands and overseas, and those returning to our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, draw us into the body of Christ and make us grow in faith and hope. Fill us with the hearts of thanksgiving made visible in our words and our actions for the sake of the whole world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of delight, fill us with songs of praise, hope, and even in the midst of despair and death, comfort the grieving. Strengthen our faith until the day we will be gathered around your throne, singing in eternal praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Trusting in the presence of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are commended all for whom we pray, dwelling in the light and the hope of Christ our Savior.
Amen. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's Church.
I wanted to separate these two prayer requests from the first ones where I talked about death. This is two family members of this congregation, different family systems, but the family of our Savior. You've known that Sharon Ruff has been on our prayer list for several weeks. She's dealing with medical issues, serious ones. Her husband Terry is standing with her as she receives medical attention and care at Port Huron Hospital. Donna Taylor, as you know, and not giving up too much because of radio, has been under treatment for several weeks. She's listening to us right now. So this is the reason I positioned it here at this time. She had a good report on Thursday from her sixth treatment. She went in the hospital yesterday morning by ambulance, which was not good. She's under care at Port Huron Hospital, receiving the appropriate things to stabilize and restore her to health. She will be in the hospital for about 3 days as things change and stabilize for her. Remember Donna in your prayers and Sharon in your prayers. By way of other announcements, I did mention that Wally and Cheryl are sponsoring the radio broadcast that many are hearing right now, The Beautiful Flowers on the Altar by Deb and Pete Culley, as a gift in the honor of Jessica, who got married at Our Savior 7 years ago. So that done. Give you some update. As far as a hard copy newsletter for January, it's not coming this week. I do not know if it will come next week. Depends on what tasks we have to do at the church office. The e-letter has been established over 4 years now. I will be back on it this afternoon, as I was yesterday and the day before. I will put in everything we need to do, including servers. So those who are servers in the month of January, you will get a hard copy in your e-letter, so I hope you're electronic. Otherwise, when you come into worship January 5th, you'll get it in your mailbox, okay? We will produce a newsletter as time and resources make possible, as changes are occurring. Other things taking place, let you know that classes are suspended because sometimes it's easy for the parents to get confused and participants. Do we have class this week or not? The answer is not, because of New Year's this week. And so the following week, classes are restored, Monday and Wednesday mornings, adults. Then on Wednesday evening, youth with confirmation for the youth as well as for their parents. So that will be restored January 8th, not this Wednesday. Many enough things for the holiday and the eve and the day after to take care of. Many things taking place. We are calling for the day to undecorate the church. You know, what goes up must come down. So on January 8th, at Wednesday, usually the time, because nobody ever sets it, usually is around 9:30 in the morning Wednesday. So if you can give your time for about an hour, hour and a half, we will undecorate the beautiful tree. We will take down our beautiful poinsettias. We will store them for the subsequent thing. If you did not get the listing from Christmas Eve when we made it first available, so as not to confuse people, there are copies on the back table. It was in last week's e-letter, and it'll be in, I'll do it for tomorrow's e-letter, so you'll see it again, if anybody missed it. So we greatly thank you for the sponsorship of these. I know it was a shock to some. It was an act of the church council in November to go with artificial poinsettias. Kathy Cole did a wonderful job making the inanimate live. She fluffed up all the leaves, just gorgeous. They look absolutely terrific. They will be stored, and some people have criticized this, but we're going to ask for a donation next year, not because we pocket it. We're hoping we will cover the expense this year. The money always goes to Blue Water Food Depot. So when we ask for a donation next year, it's not for Our Savior and it's not for the live flowers. It is for the community. And that's where our heart is. And that's what will take place next year. Okay? So you understand the mechanics since it's a change. We're getting closer to February. Just be aware of that. What's that?
I think we're going to be 101. So things are coming together. We need to meet as an anniversary committee as we get closer what that day will look like. I know some have asked so that they know. Jim Wynn has asked me. I know Shirley McLean has asked me, when is it going to be and what's it going to be? I said, as soon as I get back, and I know, I'll tell you. So as soon as we get those plans together, we'll get that word out there. Trying to think anything else. I think that's it. Our worship continues with another scripture reading after we sing. So if you'll please rise. We sing Good Christian Friends. Rejoice. Sing. You may be seated. The fifth lesson. I thought I'd ask somebody who's so quiet every 8:30 service at Our Savior, Denise. And she'd be our lector for the fifth reading. Denise is coming forward for those on radio.
This is how it starts.
Yes. And look at how it ends. Oh, thanks a lot, Scott.
Through Jesus' suffering and death, the trail to eternal salvation has been blazed for us. We do not fear death because he has conquered the power of death. Thus Christ, our merciful and faithful high priest, has the final say over the destiny of our lives. This reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. It was fitting that God, from whom and through whom all things exist, and bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I, the children whom God has given me. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Excellent job, Denise. Scott knows how I get my claws into people. It's only practical experience. So, if you'll please rise for the blessing this day. Grace from God's own heart, peace from the child in the manger, and strength from the Spirit of life be blessings for you today and forever. Amen.
As we heard in the Hebrew text, that this one who came makes full satisfaction for sins and claimed you and I are worth far more than even the angels. He has came to minister and to save. It's worth, as over the history of this church, people like Stan Arnett and many saints have sung, "Go tell it on the mount." We sing our closing hymn.
Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain and everywhere.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM. report herein.